All right, get ready, because today we're taking a deep dive into a case that should make any entrepreneur think twice. It's Robertson v. Levy, and it shows us that the corporate shield, while strong, isn't something to mess around with.
What's really interesting about this case is how it shows a change in legal thinking. You know, courts are moving away from those kind of fuzzy common law ideas like de facto corporation, and they're going towards a much stricter way of looking at corporate law.
Yeah, as I was reading through the details of the case, it honestly felt like watching a train wreck in slow motion. We have these two guys, Robertson and Levy, deciding to open a music store together in D.C. They file their articles of incorporation on December 27th, 1961, for their business, Pen Ave.
Record check.
Inc. Sounds pretty standard so far, right?
Seems like it. Yeah, it sounds pretty straightforward. But here's where things start to go off the rails. Levy doesn't wait for the official certificate of incorporation to be issued. He just jumps right in and starts acting like Pen Ave. Record check, Inc. is already a real thing. Taking out loans, signing contracts, the whole shebang.
Uh-oh. I'm already getting a bad feeling about this. So, what happened next? Did the certificate eventually come through?
It did, but not until January 17th. And wouldn't you know it, just a few months later, the whole business goes belly up. And remember, Robertson had already sold his shares of the business to Levy back on January 8th.
Oh, right, and he received a promissory note for those shares, signed by Levy, acting as the president of the, well, supposed corporation.
Exactly. But now, with the business going bankrupt, Robertson is left holding this worthless piece of paper. So naturally, he decides to go after Levy personally to get his money back.
Well, I can see his point. I mean, if the corporation doesn't really exist, Levy's the one who signed the note, isn't he? But I'm guessing Levy probably had some legal arguments to fight back, right?
He absolutely did. His whole defense at trial rested on this legal idea called estoppel. Basically, he argued that because Robertson accepted a payment from the corporation after it was officially formed, he was basically saying, okay, I recognize that you're a real corporation now.
So it's like a legal gotcha. Robertson took the money, so he's stuck with acknowledging the corporation, even if it wasn't technically legitimate before. Is that basically it?
That's the gist of it, yeah. But the appeals court wasn't convinced. They looked at very specific sections of the District of Columbia Business Corporation Act to shoot down Levy's argument. For example, Section 29.921C is super clear. A corporation only exists after the certificate of incorporation is issued. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Okay, I see. So legally speaking, Pen Ave, Record Shack, Inc., didn't actually exist until January 17th. So anything Levy did before that was, well, not exactly allowed.
Exactly. And the D.C. Code has something to say about that, too. Section 29.950 lays down the law. If you're acting on behalf of a corporation without proper authorization, you're personally on the hook for any debts or obligations you rack up.
Wow. So even though the corporation eventually became a real thing and even paid Robertson, Levy was still held personally responsible for what he did before it was officially a corporation. That seems, I don't know, kind of harsh. Shouldn't there be some wiggle room for honest mistakes?
That's a really good question, and it gets to the heart of why this case is so important. It shows a bigger trend in corporate law, a shift away from those more flexible common law ideas like de facto corporation or corporation by estoppel. Courts are saying, look, the rules are the rules, and you have to follow them.
So no more close enough when it comes to starting a corporation. You got to dot your I's and cross your T's, right? But why are courts taking such a hard line? Is it just about being super clear legally, or is there more to it?
That's where it gets really interesting. There are definitely some bigger economic forces at play here. Think about it. If courts had to deal with all these almost corporation situations all the time, it would create so much uncertainty and could even mess up the stability of the whole corporate system. Investors would be nervous, lenders wouldn't want to lend, and everything would become less efficient.
I see. So by drawing a clear line in the sand, the courts are really emphasizing how important it is to respect the corporate veil. They're sending a strong message that you can't just expect the benefits of incorporating without going through the proper procedures.
Exactly. And this shift has implications for everyone, not just people starting businesses. Lawyers need to be super careful about advising their clients, investors need to be more aware of the risks, and even judges have to be ready to make tough decisions that might not always seem fair on the surface.
This is definitely a lot to think about. But let's take a moment to talk about what this case means practically. Let's say I'm listening to this and thinking about starting my own business. What's the most important thing I should take away from all of this?
The key takeaway is simple. don't rush the incorporation process. Make absolutely sure you have that certificate of incorporation in your hand before you start doing anything on behalf of the corporation. Signing contracts, getting loans, even ordering office supplies. All of that needs to wait.
So those office supplies could end up costing a lot more than you planned. But let's say you're in a situation where there's a really time-sensitive opportunity, and you haven't gotten that certificate yet. Are there any ways to protect yourself in that kind of situation?
That's where something called a promoter agreement comes in. It's basically a contract between the people who are setting up the corporation. It spells out everyone's roles and responsibilities, especially during that time before incorporation when things are still up in the air.
Okay, so a promoter agreement is kind of like a safety net. It clarifies who's responsible for what if things go wrong before the corporation is officially formed.
Precisely. It's a way to have everything in writing and avoid confusion later on. In Robertson v. Levy, if they had a well-written promoter agreement that outlined their liabilities during that pre-incorporation period, this whole legal battle could have been avoided.
That's a great point. Sounds like something every entrepreneur should consider, even if they think everything will go perfectly.
Absolutely. It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And when it comes to corporate law, that little bit of prevention can save you a ton of headaches and legal fees down the line.
So it's all about being clear, doing your due diligence, and making sure you're not accidentally putting yourself at risk of personal liability. This is some really valuable advice, and it's a perfect lead-in to our next segment, where we'll explore the bigger picture of this shift toward a stricter interpretation of corporate law.
Welcome back. You know, it's fascinating how Robertson v. Levy really highlights that difference between common sense and how the law actually works. Like, at first, the trial court actually sided with Levy. They thought, well, Robertson accepted payment from the corporation, so he must recognize it as legitimate. They used the idea of estoppel, you know?
Right, so the trial court was really focused on what seemed fair. It seemed unfair to them that Robertson could benefit from the corporation and then turn around and say it didn't exist.
Yeah. Exactly. But then the appeals court came in and took a totally different view. They were all about sticking to the exact wording of the law. They basically said, look, the District of Columbia's Business Corporation Act is super clear. A corporation only exists after that certificate is issued.
So no matter what happened afterward, those actions or payments, none of that could change that initial legal fact.
Right. Exactly. And that's why this case is so important. It shows how courts are, I guess you could say, putting more weight on what the actual laws say, you know, the statutes, rather than those more flexible common law ideas. And this, well, this has some pretty big implications for lawyers, businesses, everyone, really.
Yeah, it's like a wake-up call saying, don't just rely on assumptions or handshake agreements. Get everything in writing. Make sure you understand what you're signing.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And remember when we talked about those economic reasons for this shift? Well, this case kind of reinforces that idea. Think about it. If courts were constantly making exceptions, you know, based on fairness or whatever, well, businesses wouldn't really know what to expect.
Investors and lenders need to be able to trust the system. They need to know the rules are clear and that everyone's playing by the same rules.
Exactly. And that stability, that predictability, it helps everyone in the long run. So even though it might seem harsh in this particular case, you know, with Levy, this stricter way of looking at the law is actually meant to protect the whole system.
It's crazy to think that this one case about a music store in D.C. could have such a big impact. But I'm curious, what happened to Levy after the ruling? Did he actually have to pay Robertson everything?
Yeah, unfortunately, he did. The court decided that he was personally responsible for all the debts of the music store. It's a pretty stark reminder that personal liability is a real risk for entrepreneurs, especially when they're just starting out.
It must have been a tough pill to swallow. Definitely a cautionary tale for anyone who thinks they can, you know, cut corners with the law. But let's zoom out a bit and think about the bigger picture. You said earlier that different states might have different rules about forming corporations and liability. Could the outcome of this case have been different if it had been tried in another state?
That's a great question, and it's something everyone needs to be aware of. While most states have kind of moved away from those de facto and estoppel concepts, there are still some differences in how they apply those principles.
So it's not like a one-size-fits-all situation. You really have to know the specific laws of the state where you're doing business.
You got it. And that's exactly why it's so important to talk to a lawyer who knows the ins and outs of corporate law in your specific state. They can guide you through the process and make sure you don't run into any unexpected problems.
Like that old saying, when in Rome, or I guess in this case, when in Delaware. incorporate like the Delawareans.
Exactly. Different states, different rules of the game.
All right. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been spending this episode really digging into Robertson v. Levy, and it's definitely shown us how important it is to follow the rules when starting a corporation.
Absolutely. We've covered a lot of ground. You know, we talked about why the court decided the way it did, what it means for businesses and the economy, and even how things might be different in other states. Yeah, lots to think about.
You know, before we wrap up, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. All those online legal services and DIY tools for incorporating a business. It seems like it's easier than ever to just file some paperwork online and boom, you have a company.
Right.
But do you think all that ease and convenience might actually be, I don't know, maybe a little bit dangerous? I mean, people might be missing out on really understanding what they're getting into, legally speaking.
That's a great point. You know, those online platforms are great for simplifying things, but they can't replace having real legal advice from an expert.
Yeah, it's kind of like, think of it like using a navigation app when you're in a new city. It can get you where you need to go, but it might not tell you about all the cool little spots along the way, you know, or those unexpected road closures.
I love that analogy. It's a perfect way to describe this. So you might be able to incorporate online without any problems, but what if something comes up later that needs a deeper understanding of corporate law?
Yeah, like what if you need to, you know, work out a complicated contract or if there's a disagreement between partners?
Exactly. That's when having a good lawyer on your side can really make a difference.
So I guess the takeaway is that people need to understand those online tools are great, but they're not a replacement for a real lawyer. It's kind of like you wouldn't try to do surgery on yourself just because you watched some videos online, right?
Absolutely. Some things just need the expertise of a professional, and corporate law is definitely one of them.
Well, I think this deep dive has really been eye-opening. Robertson v. Levy is definitely a case that everyone starting a business, or even lawyers and law students, should study. It shows how important it is to plan carefully, pay attention to the details, and probably most importantly, get advice from a legal expert.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that the corporate shield is a great protection to have, but it's not perfect. And it definitely shows what can happen if you don't do things the right way, right from the start.
So always get good advice, have a solid plan, and never underestimate how important a good contract is. That's some great advice to end on.
Couldn't agree more.
And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We hope this episode has given you a better understanding of how important it is to do things right when starting and running a business. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and never be afraid to get expert help when you're dealing with the law.